Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm really excited to have my good friend Jeremy Laval, all the way from Boston and Ireland before that, and France? I don't know. Where are you from exactly, Jeremy? Where are you from, world traveler?
Yeah, France originally, and then I traveled enough that I have a mixed bag of different English accents that nobody even know where I'm from in the end.
And you work specifically on our Android designer and kind of everything around that. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. I basically handle everything that's like Android tooling for both VS Mac and VS Windows as well.
Got it.
And that's including designer.
Got it. And you may know Jeremy because Jeremy and I presented at both Xamarin Evolves back-to-back on material design. Jeremy and I are the biggest Android fanboys, I think, at Microsoft. I know it's hard to say who's more.
I guess we extend it. We're like the biggest fanboy of Xamarin. Are we still the biggest fanboys at the scale of Microsoft? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We still have to like maybe put out some polls and see who's number one. So, but yeah, so we've been doing a lot of stuff. So maybe tell a little bit about your past, what you do now on the product and everything, a little bit about yourself.
Ooh, I guess the question is like, how far do you want me to go? I mean, personally, I've been involved in Mono for like a very, very long time. I joined Xamarin very early on, and very kind of early, I was like working on kind of the designers. The first designer that I actually worked on, funnily enough, was the iOS designer. Mm. And so when we kind of stabilized that work a little bit, that was like a few years ago, I kind of took ownership of the Android side of the house. And so now we have a small team essentially working on that, and so I'm editing them as part of my day job.
Got it. Beautiful. So you are working on the designers, focus on Android, and we just had a big release, so 15.8. Does that sound correct?
Yep, that is correct.
And there's a whole bunch of new stuff. I've demoed a lot of our Android stuff in the past, here and there, and as an Android fanboy building a lot of Android apps, I was really pleased with all the amazing new stuff that came out. And I think the release notes were said like split Android designer, and like that was it. But there seems like there's a lot more in this release, and that's why I wanted to have you come on.
Yeah, it's definitely, if I had to like nickname this release, it's definitely the Visual Studio Windows love release. We really like devoted a lot of time kind of polishing the experience specifically for VS Windows, and like kind of giving, as you said, the split view feature, some of the kind of longer standing features that people have been asking for. So finally kind of delivered, at least for the first versions in that release.
Very cool. Well, do you want to give it a spin and show us all what's new?
Sure, yeah.
So let's see, I have the power to switch over to your other machine here. There we go. So what I see over here is awesome login.
Yeah. Excellent. So this is the designer inside Visual Studio Windows. So even though I said it was like a Visual Studio Windows love release, Visual Studio for Mac also has some of those improvements as well. The split view specifically is not yet part of VS Mac. We are actually working on this. We just like us syncing up with the VS Mac team themselves so that they can provide us kind of that support in the IDE. But once that's done, we expect to have the same feature also on VS Mac.
Okay, got it.
But on VS Windows, this would feel very familiar to someone who has already used the XAML designer for WPF or EWP app. We're basically kind of using the same sort of shell that they do. So when you now start, when you open a layout files, you're basically presented with this split view. And so you can kind of customize exactly the way it looks. If you, for instance, don't like to use the source, you can just collapse it and just get back to kind of the design surface like you used to be in the past. You can go the other way around and, for instance, swap the pane and decide that you don't want to have any sort of preview so that you only focus on the text. It's kind of up to you, and it's made to essentially be seamless depending on no matter kind of which version of the pane you want to be using. You can actually set up in the preferences, we have like a new set of preference where you can actually say what style you prefer.
Okay.
And so if you want to change kind of the default, you can decide, for instance, that you just want to use the source or the design, stay on the split, or even if you have the split, you know, if you are more like a vertical or horizontal type of person, depending on the size of your screen. Because all of that can be set up there.
Oh, that's nice. So if you have like one of those monitors that you've switched over into vertical mode, so it's like huge, you could actually just make the designer go top to bottom.
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly it. And so a lot of the work that we actually spend in that release to be able to support essentially this split view feature kind of went inside the core. And so now that we have done all those like big, far wide-ranging changes, basically what we have now is that we can actually have complete bidirectional editing between the two mode. So you can see here that I am like changing some text and the text is right away updating on the other side. So that's something that we couldn't really do before. We only kind of supported one mode at a time, but not both at the same time. So now thanks to all those changes, we essentially support being able to edit kind of from both sides. So it's kind of tailored to whoever's preference. If you're more like a design person and you want to use the designer surface, that's fine. You can continue doing this. If you're more like a text person and you don't actually want to see any visual until you run your app, you also are fine using kind of just the text editor experience. Or even if you want to use the designer surface as a preview form, for instance, while kind of concentrating on the text, you can also do that.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, that's one thing I've wanted forever is a nice split view. So when I'm working, I can see it and everything's nice and pretty. And I like that. It's like as soon as you type, so you don't have to worry about flipping back and forth.
Yep, precisely. And so as part of kind of recognizing the fact that a lot of people like to use the source editor for different reasons, we also spend a lot of time in that release kind of revamping the source experience, the IntelliSense experience that we have in that pane. So we have things like so better kind of syntax highlighting. We are now properly recognizing things like resources that are shown in like a slightly different color. We also support the formatting that is typical of Android applications where attributes are like on their own lines. We also support things like quick info. So like if you have, for instance, in that layout, I have a couple of different places where there's colors. So if you actually hover your mouse over such color, we are able to recognize that it is mapping to a color, and we'll show you actually how the resolving of that color goes, including showing you what the final color looks like. So for instance, here I'm hovering over this button here, and so you can see that the background being blue here, I can also see it there.
And that's cool. That one's actually like an attribute. So that's actually like an Android-specific attribute mapping to your color, mapping to an actual hex value.
That's exactly it. Wow. Same for like, this is like a default framework resource that maps to just a plain color white. So same thing, we can show it there as well.
Very nice, very nice.
And so the idea is that everything is also seamless. So like you can also edit on the other side. And so one change that we did compared to previous releases is that we are now much more fine-grained in the way that we are going to update your XML if you use the designer surface. So in the past, if you were to use the designer surface, we basically would overwrite kind of everything that you had in your source with everything that was showing in the visual tree. Not anymore. So like, for instance, if you decide to have like, so if you file have like, you have very specific kind of changes that you have in there. For instance, if I decide that for some reason I want that edit text to not be indented. Now if I go to edit something that is completely unrelated, like that button that I go select here in the designer surface, and so I can get access to the property panel. If I decide to change the text at that stage, so change it, for instance, from login to, let's say, logout, you'll see that like, the text actually changed here, and the little markers show you that basically the only place that we updated is this. And so we retained the custom changes or like the user changes that you had potentially there or anywhere else in the document, and only changed the part that actually needed to be changed.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, so it's not completely overriding, it's just setting the property. And that's nice since it's using the editor, you get those nice diffing tools, basically, right? That's what those little yellow things are, I'm assuming, is that you change something there and the diff in the Git history is different.
Exactly. And so we'll be kind of resistant to changes. So like you can be sure that if you change something with the designer surface, you won't lose any more anything that you might have done specifically inside your source that is not what you changed inside the designer surface.
Oh, very cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And then is there anything new as far as, we have a lot of attributes here, but one mystery to me has always been like finding the attributes, discovering the attributes. There's so many attributes. It's always been like really tricky.
Yeah, so as part of also those changes, we also improved drastically the IntelliSense experience that we have. So for instance, what I want to show you is that kind of that same text there, instead of editing inside the property panel, what I could have done instead is just directly go here. And so instead of trying to remember, as you said, kind of what resources, for instance, I might have inside my project so that I can put it into that text, we have no like direct auto-completion when you type, for instance, the at symbol. We can now show you everything that's inside both the project and the framework. So this dialogue has been kind of revamped from the ground up. It's also much, much, much faster and more precise than it used to be in the past. You can actually filter down if you want by framework resources, project resources. And so since here we want to have a string, if I type start typing string, and I know that I put something as my login, I see that like I have like my login in button. And so a nice thing that we show you, for instance, now is that we actually can show you what the text actually behind that. So for instance, I had like two resources here, one for my edit text here and one for my button, and I wasn't sure which one corresponded to which. Well, no, since I can actually see what the text is, I can actually select the right one.
Oh, it's super nice. Yeah, it's super nice to be able to go in and actually see it. That's the one thing I noticed from media. I was like, wow, like I don't have to guess anymore, like navigate to that file because it tells me right there, which is nice. Yep.
Exactly. So there's kind of more. So obviously, like all those changes are kind of far-ranging. We also complete like everything else. But this is kind of the start. We have much more kind of in the works to improve here, including things that will come with the next version of Visual Studio. But this is definitely an area of focus for us, where we will try to improve that text experience, I guess you could say, as much as possible.
Very cool. And you showed the property pane a little bit, and that looked very different than the property panel that I've been used to. Has that been revamped too?
That's been revamped. So that didn't come inside the 15.8 release. That actually came in the 15.7 release. But essentially, we were implementing also from the ground up a completely new property panel that's very reminiscent, again, for people that have used the XAML WPF with WP Designer. It's kind of made to look very close to what people are expecting from Visual Studio. But it supports essentially the same thing that we would have inside our other property panel. You can actually search for specific properties. We have like some better editors, for instance, for background, for colors or things like that, like a brush system so that you can also look up if you wanted to material resources as well, the same way that you can do to it in VS Mac, those kinds of things.
Oh, that's super nifty because, just specifying a hex value is fun, but actually seeing it there and or like specifying if I know my color palette of my material palette, then being able to select it there is like super beneficial and like super helpful. That's the first thing I did when I saw the new property panel. I was like, oh, let me just see like, oh, like that is there because that is part of the theming that I know we have in the designer aspect too. There's like all that theming stuff that we did a while ago and that all seems to still be there, correct?
Yep, it is too.
Very cool. So new and it's faster, I assume. It's more resilient. Like, has there been a lot
faster,
of optimizations there?
Resilience in general, yeah. Everything is faster, more resilient, you name it.
Very cool. Yeah, go ahead.
So that's kind of like a part of it. We also like did some more improvement around kind of designing in general. So there's like one specifically, like one feature that I'm really excited about that I wanted to show. And so the feature is called sample data. It's something that also Android Studio has that we also implemented on our side. So to explain kind of what sample data is for, let me open up another layout. So that layout is a recycler view that is part of the support library.
Okay.
Seeing loaded here. So my layout is very simple. It's simply a frame layout containing that recycler view, which if you don't know is essentially a replacement or like a more powerful version of list view on Android that supports tons of different features, different type of layouts, different types of animations as well, and things like that. And so by default inside the designer, the main problem essentially of those type of layouts is that they kind of require usually at runtime some sort of data source, usually something maybe you would fetch from like a service or a database or some kind of like web resource to fill up the data that's kind of showing. And so when you're in design mode, you usually don't have access necessarily to that real data that you would have inside your app when you're running on your phone. And so by default, we kind of try to give you a little sense of what things might look like. And so we kind of do a best guess of putting essentially a few of those like text item labels. But what you can actually do and what you could do in the past is that you can, first of all, kind of customize, for instance, the number of elements you could potentially have in there. So for instance, here I had started with like 6 elements, but now I decided to, for instance, have 9. So those are using the specific namespace called tools, which is defined up there. And so that lets you access kind of more design time functionality. Those items would not end up inside your final application. They are only for design time. They will be removed before they go into your final APK.
Oh, cool.
And so one thing that we support is also you are able to specify kind of which sublayer, I suppose, you can use as the cell view of like what we actually show instead of those text views that we have by default. So if I open it, that layer as well that I have here, this is one of such kind of cell view, I suppose. So if you were doing, for instance, like a contacts application, you might have kind of like an avatar picture of a dog, for instance, if you have dogs in your contacts, like a name and like maybe like the city where they are from. So what's actually interesting here is that this is like a very, you know, simple standard layouts here. But what's interesting is that this picture here that you see, this name that you see here and this city here, it's not actually me who put them in. Instead, what I'm using is that I'm using another one of those kind of tools attribute. And inside of it, instead of fitting actual data, I'm fitting this very special tools sample namespace. And you can see that like I have different things. For like the picture, I'm using this avatar name thing. For the name, I'm using this full name item. And for the city, I'm using like these cities. And so what this actually maps to is that behind the scenes, we have actually curated right now a bunch of different sources corresponding to very common data types. So as I said, like names, cities, different type of avatar pictures, and things like that. And so you can actually use this data to fill in. Again, it's all design time. It won't actually end up inside your application. But you can actually use those data sources inside your layout so that you can actually visualize what it would look like if it were real data.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, because that's one of the hardest things is sometimes to visualize this data that's not even data unless you have it hard-coded, right?
Exactly. But that's not the coolest thing. Because the coolest thing is like when you want to actually do use this type of layouts inside something like this. And so if I actually add it here, the interesting part is that
See,
like by doing this, I'm importing that same layer that I showed you before. But what's interesting is that we can now detect that you are trying to use this in a list type of situation. And so instead of showing you the same data all over again, we're actually going to have a mix and match of different information so that you can actually truly see what like this would actually look like on device if you had like diverse data coming out from your backend.
Oh, that's very cool, because that way then you can put like the grid overlay on it. You could see like if everything's lining up, not just for one item, but for all the items, figure out your padding. That's really nice.
And so any changes that you would do on the other one would get reflected also obviously back onto this one as well.
Yeah, and it looks like it's really fast. You just put it in there and it was there.
Yep. And so currently we have a list of those kind of data sources. We're only at the beginning. So if you go over to like the Xamarin blog, we released the blog post a while ago. That's still, you know, very much on the front page. But if you kind of go back to this blog post, I'm sure we'll put a link somewhere. We have kind of this section there. We'll also put it inside the actual documentation for the designer if you want kind of a quick reference. But this is essentially the list of what we have today. So it's a lot of names. It's street types, cities, those that I have used, the avatar for the pictures. And so in the future, we will also allow people to submit their own data. So what's interesting is that this system is essentially flexible enough that people can even like submit JSON, for instance, formatted type of data, which I think is something that is supported in Xamarin Forms as well, where you can submit kind of structured data as well through this. Well, we're planning on adding support for kind of user-supplied sample data that way so that, you can visualize it directly inside your layout at design time.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I always kind of use the side-by-side. I live and breathe inside the XML, but sometimes I use that side-by-side for a quick reference just to make sure everything's in the right place. You know, I know that my Pixel XL2 is going to be really big and in different sizes, but it's like it's nice just to kind of know, like, oh, this is about what it'll be, and then also I can see some stuff too.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Anything else hidden in there that you want to show off, Jeremy?
No, that's the main thing. And I'll just say, stay tuned for like more improvements across those lanes.
Very cool. Well, this has been awesome. I always love seeing like how we're optimizing and helping developers be more productive. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming and showing it all off.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we'll put all the links in the show notes below, so be sure to go check it out. And be sure to follow Jeremy on Twitter, because he has awesome, great stuff. All that Android stuff, all you Android devs out there, follow us and ask him. Tell him what you want to see, how you're using the designer. So I'm sure you'd love the feedback, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, we love feedback, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you again. Enjoy your afternoon in Boston. I'm sure it's lovely.
Yep. Oh. It is actually pretty nice, the last strand of summer before the harsh winter comes back.
Yeah. So go out there, enjoy it, and thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it, Jeremy.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And, of course, be sure to get all the links in the show notes below. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube or on Channel 9 so you get the latest Xamarin shows right in your inbox. So until next time, I'm James. This has been The Xamarin Show, and thanks for watching.